Welcome to It's About Florida. I'm Lynn Hatter. Tonight we're taking a look at what is quickly becoming the most controversial state constitutional amendment on the November ballot. It's Amendment 1. In a matter of weeks, Floridians will be asked to decide on the proposal that seemingly gives citizens a constitutional right to solar. Except, they already have it. And opponents are up in arms, claiming power companies are using the initiative as a way to stifle the spread of solar power. Here's Nick Evans.
Help him with that solar panel, Frank. I need that solar panel.
Al Simpler is building a residential solar array on the outskirts of Tallahassee. It's a large angled frame set up in a pasture next to the house.
Well, this is a ground mount that we're building. Has more airflow behind it than, say, a roof mount. So it's precisely oriented correctly, good airflow behind it, so it actually outproduces any other type of installation.
The homeowner, Eugene Watkins, says the 6.2 kilowatt system will cover about two-thirds of his energy usage in the summer and potentially all of it in the winter. He expects it will pay for itself in 8 to 10 years. And Watkins is unequivocal about this November's solar ballot initiative.
I'd like to make sure everybody knows to vote no in November. Amendment 1 will not promote solar power. It'll make it harder for people to afford solar power.
But supporters tell a different story. Led by the group Consumers for Smart Solar, they say the initiative simply gives Floridians a constitutional right to solar, while guaranteeing state and local governments can take action to protect consumers. The group boasts politicians from both sides of the aisle, a former public service commissioner, and nearly $22 million from the state's largest utility companies. Screven Watson, former head of the Florida Democratic Party and an Amendment 1 backer, says passing the measure should be a no-brainer. He goes through the amendment clause by clause.
Is there anything in the world controversial about the idea of providing a constitutional guarantee to generate your own solar electricity? Is there anything wrong with the idea of allowing government to retain its authority to protect the health, safety, and welfare?
And to ensure that consumers who do not choose to install solar are not required to subsidize the costs of backup power and electric grid access to those who do.
That's Lou Marie Polifka-West reading the last part of the amendment, the one that's riled so many opponents. Amendment 1 seems innocuous because it guarantees rights that aren't threatened. Floridians can already use solar. State and local authorities can already protect consumers. But opponents say that final twist, keeping non-solar consumers from subsidizing those who have solar, is deceptive and could lead to fees or other charges for solar users. But Polifka-West says she didn't realize that when she saw it on social media.
What happened is it popped up on Facebook, yes, for solar power. And so I liked it.
Shortly after, her friend started asking why she was supporting the measure. That's when Polifka-West realized she'd backed the wrong horse. The initiative supporters argue without Amendment 1, solar users could get a free ride, circumventing fees that go toward maintaining the grid. But opponents say the subsidization language is vague enough to be invoked any time a consumer saves money using solar. Preston Robertson is vice president and general counsel for the Florida Wildlife Federation.
And so it seems to give standing to 20 million people, some of whom might have an interest in denying solar power to their neighbors, the opportunity to stymie the effort to have solar power in the state.
It's those concerns that have brought together groups from the Wildlife Federation to the League of Women Voters in opposition to the proposal. Meanwhile, Polifka-West is unliked Amendment 1 on Facebook. But she hasn't stopped there.
Now it has energized me to make sure that I get as many people to understand Amendment 1 is not to be approved. It is not in their best interest. And I will do whatever I can over the next month to get that message out.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Nick Evans.
And newly revealed recordings are roiling the Amendment 1 campaign. A leaked audio tape featuring James Madison Institute Vice President Sal Nuzzo has opponents up in arms. They say it confirms the initiative was written to deceive voters. Consumers for Smart Solar, the group backing the amendment, says it never hired the institute. But David Pomerantz says just listen to the tape.
You've got the Gulf Power CEO sitting on the James Madison Institute board. And Mr. Nuzzo on the recording was pretty explicit when he said that Consumers for Smart Solar came to JMI and requested their help. So I think can basically let the tape speak for itself.
Nuzzo spoke at an out-of-state energy conference presenting Amendment 1 as a model for other groups to follow. You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Lynn Hatter, and thanks for joining us. We've been discussing Amendment 1. That's the constitutional amendment proposal that purports to enshrine a right to solar in the state's constitution. But it's not so simple. Joining us in the studio this evening is Candy Moons with the No on One campaign. She also represents the Florida chapter of the American Institute of Architects, which is one of many organizations opposed to the amendment. Candy, thank you so much for joining us today on It's About Florida.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
So, you know, we're talking about Amendment 1, and, you know, most Floridians will know it as the other solar amendment. This is a completely different proposal that was before voters in the primary. And most people who have looked at this have said, vote no on this amendment. Meanwhile, so many people voted yes for the first one in the primary. So let's talk about this. This is Amendment 1. It's on the ballot. Voters will see it on November 1st. And it seems very innocent. It says, you know, Floridians have a right to solar. Where do the problems come in with this proposal?
Well, you know, Lynn, much unlike the first ballot initiative that was voted on in August, this is really doing something completely different. Amendment 4 was extending a property tax relief for customers who install solar, which is absolutely a great amendment. So many people in Florida were for it. This amendment is, first off, in the first portion, saying that the Constitution's now going to give you the right to have solar. And those are provisions that state statute already allows you to have. The second part of this amendment is then saying that utilities and the government in the future may be able to limit third-party sales, essentially, at the end of the day. It looks like it's just saying we're not going to, quote, subsidize the solar, saying that those who don't install solar aren't going to be penalized for their neighbor who may have solar panels. And when in reality, research has proven that that's not the case. The bigger issue you'll hear net metering talked about. There are a lot of studies done on the side of utilities that were also funded by the proponents of Amendment 1 who are saying, oh no, you know, if your neighbor's able to zero out his electric bill, then he's not going to be contributing funds to maintain the grid, and then your bill's going to go up even though you don't have solar. And other studies in many states who do have solar-friendly laws have proven that's not the case, and this amendment really will be blocking the sun in the Sunshine State, and that just doesn't really make any sense.
And as you know, so eloquently highlighted there, the key clause in this amendment is, you know, the language that says consumers with solar are not obligated to subsidize, you know, those who don't, and vice versa. And that is the clause that people have raised so much concern about. And let's talk briefly about, you know, the way solar works, because this is a complicated issue and it's very forward thinking. The issue is not exactly what the amendment standing alone by itself is about, but what could happen sort of down the line. And I want to get into that a little bit more here. So when people, businesses put solar panels on their home generates power. Correct. from that. What it does is it drops the usage that they're taking from the city or county or the municipal grid. So if they have an $87 bill, if they had solar, they might have a $47 bill. At issue here is, I think the utility argument is that people with solar aren't contributing, quote unquote, their fair share to things like infrastructure, the cost to maintain the poles. All of that are costs that are inside of a person's utility bill. And I guess their concern is that if more people put up solar panels, they're going to have fewer dollars coming in to support the physical grid. That's their argument. But at the same time, people who have solar say, this is my investment. I put this here to be energy for me, for my business. It's good for the environment. It's good for the earth. And because this amendment is very kind of forward thinking, we now have this clash. And obviously the utility companies don't like it because at the end of the day, more people with solar means less money flowing into their system.
Certainly. And, you know, I come here today as an individual who's opposed this amendment. I wouldn't begin to say that I'm a professional that can speak to all the specifics of solar generation or the use of power or how that all particularly works. I'm no expert on that topic. But I can say that my understanding is that if you are producing solar in your home, you will most likely generate more than you need. And in that turn of events, you would be able to sell your solar back to utilities, sell your solar to someone else. And that's the other piece of this amendment that is even being overlooked as we talk about the different reasons to vote for or against it, is it specifically says individuals have the right to generate solar power for themselves. And the bigger fear is that that is going to eventually lead to utilities going back to this Public Service Commission and saying, well, this says they have the right to generate their own solar. It doesn't give them the right to sell it, which will eliminate competition, will eliminate third-party sales. And at the end of the day, this is a free market issue that I think so many people, and that's why there are literally hundreds of organizations from both sides of the political aisle, individuals, businesses, all kinds of people in our state that are saying, wait, this is not good for us. And at the end of the day, more than anything, this is a legislative issue that should be accomplished by our legislature. It is not safe for us to be legislating through the Constitution, which is truly my number one reason for not being in support of this amendment. I think that even if our legislature has been inept in passing laws that are positive on either side of this fence, that does not mean we should be going into the Constitution to do it for them.
You know, one of the features of this, the Amendment 1 campaign, is utility companies themselves have backed this proposal. They actually did a citizen initiative in the truest sense of the word. They gathered signatures. They asked people to put it on the ballot. And, you know, opponents to this have said, you know, when Floridians hear solar, they automatically think solar equals good. So people were misled into signing off on this ballot amendment. We just heard from a woman at Florida State University who said, you know, I signed this petition thinking it was a good thing until I figured it out that it was the utilities that were backing this. Talk a little bit about, you know, how this actually came to be, because the utility companies essentially did do a citizen initiative to get this on the ballot.
Absolutely. You know, there was a movement to have another amendment, and this will even confuse you more. There was another amendment that was being worked on by solar proponents that did not get enough support to actually be placed on the ballot. And in response to that, I think that is the time that it's being looked at as when the utility said, oh, no, we better do our own work. And in a dissenting opinion from the Supreme Court, you know, that was a 4-3 decision. That wasn't unanimous support saying that this amendment was friendly or that this amendment was easily understood. And even with the disagreements on the Supreme Court, and it was allowed on the ballot, they still said, don't miss the fact that this is already enshrining in the Constitution rights that you have. So, you know, all the way around, it can be looked at as deceiving. I think that deceiving may be a term that supporters of this amendment don't like, but you can say it's definitely slick, if nothing else. And I really just think that it's hard for as much as at stake when we go to the polls in November or when we start early voting. You get to the bottom of the ballot, and now you're trying to figure out who all these candidates are if you didn't already do that research. And then, you see solar, and you say, yes, I definitely think Florida, the Sunshine State, should be leading in solar, and we're not. So I support that. And the next thing you know, we're going to be prohibiting solar, and that's certainly something we don't want.
The Miami Herald recently reported a vice president of the free market think tank, the James Madison Institute, gave a speech earlier this month to a group in Nashville. And he basically stated that this amendment was designed to take advantage of Floridians' positive views of solar power. Here are a few excerpts from that speech.
So consumers for Smart Solar not only conducted the research, but then also, in what I would consider an incredibly savvy maneuver, they put forth their own constitutional ballot initiative. That ballot initiative also gathered the 700,000 signatures, but what it said was individuals have the right to own solar equipment, they have the right to install solar equipment and lease it, they have the right to generate as much electricity as they can. It acknowledges net metering policies in the state. What they don't have the right to do is generate their utilities for their when the sun is out and receive utilities from traditional utilities while shifting costs onto other ratepayers. So it essentially negated exactly what the challenge was and what the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy and Tom Steyer and all of these other folks were after. Consumers for Smart Solar came to JMI and said, you guys are the adults in the room. You're the ones that have access to the research, to the scholars, to the state policy network, to a lot of the national organizations. We need some help because not only are they going to get the 700,000 signatures to get it on the ballot, it's actually polling in the 70% range. This amendment was actually polling in the 70s. Why? Because the Tea Party was behind it. We even saw some folks that we would normally play pretty well with. The Chambers of Commerce locally, the business community was kind of galvanizing behind it. Why? Because if you're not a utility generating organization, this kind of helps you because it makes it a little bit easier for you to go that route and sell it. It's got some staying power. The point I would make, maybe the takeaway, is you guys look at policy in your state or constitutional ballot initiatives in your state. Remember this, solar polls very well. To the degree that we can use a little bit of political jujitsu and take what they're kind of hitting us on and use it to our benefit, either in policy and legislation or in constitutional referendums, if that's the direction we want to take, use the language of promoting solar and kind of put in these protections for consumers that kind of choose not to install rooftop.
That was Sal Nuzzo, who is the James Madison Institute's policy director. Nuzzo was originally supposed to appear on today's program, but the Institute has issued a statement distancing itself from Nuzzo's comments and stating that JMI has not advised the organization behind the amendment. And another statement from a spokeswoman for Consumers for Smart Solar, which is sponsoring the amendment, is also putting distance between its group and Mr. Nuzzo's comments. You know, so right there, kind of in that conversation that he was having with another group, he pretty much kind of laid out the strategy. And, you know, people have said, you know, this is what we've been saying all along. So now the question that I have is, Amendment 1 was polling with overwhelming passage. It takes 60% to get a proposal into the Constitution. It was polling well above that threshold. Do you think that voters understand it enough with as many articles and everything else that have been out there to kind of move that needle down? Or is this going to be something that, you know, if it passes, there may have to be other things that come into play to kind of nullify it?
You know, again, that's another slippery slope kind of perspective to this constitutional amendment, is that changing it, unlike if this was a legislation that was passed, making a change once you realized it wasn't accomplishing the intent would not be as difficult as it will be, provided that this becomes a part of our Constitution. I think that we do live in a time where, you know, I look at my friends, I'm a millennial, and I look at my friends who may not have been involved in the political process when we were younger, and I see social media and I see so many more people involved. This is definitely a time where those of us who are involved in the political process, a lot of us are saying, hey, we don't even want to talk about this presidential race. Let's look at some other stuff that we can actually make a big difference in. And I think that this grassroots effort has really taken a hold. I try to listen to the radio when I'm in my car, and I do hear those very, very convincing radio ads from the supporters of Amendment 1. I think, man, if I didn't know any different, I would be voting for this. But then I get on social media, or I'm getting updates on my phone from different news outlets that I follow, and I say, hold on, I'm starting to get more information. So I do think that the word is getting out there. I just hope that it's able to be defeated. And, you know, I also would say that on some on the far, far right wing who, do have different interests that would be supported by this amendment will say, oh, you're just scared of this because the big bad utility companies are supporting it, or, you know, it's not fair for us, for a consumer to have to pay for something that they're not benefiting from. And I would say if we want to talk about what's fair for consumers, we should talk about the $21 million utility companies has used to support this amendment. And if we want to talk about where your money's going when you pay your utility bill, then let's look at that instead of looking at this potential fallacy about how you would be penalized in the event that your neighbor is putting solar panels on their roof.
Gotcha. And, you know, as we kind of prepare to wrap up today, you know, what is the messaging from the No on One campaign? And, you know, how are you guys making this kind of push in the last couple weeks before voters go to the polls? I know that, you know, I've seen people kind of going out there and say, hey, don't do this. I've seen it begin to percolate a lot more on social media, I think more now than I've seen it happening since that amendment, you know, was certified by the Florida Supreme Court.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the slogan you may hear the most or you might see in social media the most would be don't block the sun, vote no on one. That's that catchy phrase. It just comes down to three really big key components, and that is, this is a utility-backed amendment that is supporting their ability to stifle the market. It is an amendment that will eliminate competition and really threaten you as a consumer in America with your ability to install environmentally friendly options in your home, which is your right. It is giving you a right that you already have, which is something we don't need, and it's making a legislative avenue that will be very hard to retract once all of these implications are found and it's not doing what everyone that may have voted for it thought it would do.
Well, Candy, thank you so much for joining me today on It's About Florida. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to Candy Munes. You're listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter. Taylor Cox provides technical assistance. Please join us again next month for more issues impacting our state.